Hello. You didn't miss a thing.
No.
Okay, so we did keys and indexes. We're looking at subqueries. And we had just started that, so that's where we are. Okay. And again, some of these things, like subqueries, I don't think you're probably going to do much with in this class, but it's a good idea. This is kind of a, if you don't take the Oracle class, this is a basic introduction to SQL, and so that's why we're spending a little time on it. So as I said the last time, here I have an inner select and an outer select, and the inner select is in parentheses, and it gets resolved first. So it goes to the table, which is drive, selects the drive number, that has the drive name of animal home. So it goes down here, finds animal home, and gets the drive number. So it's extracting the 200, okay? And it extracts the 200, takes that back up, and says, okay, now we'll do the outer select, which says select asterisks from donation where drive number is in, and the only one that was sent out was 200, so it's where drive number is 200. Okay. So the outer select acts on what the inner select returns, and the inner select returned 200, so the outer select says, okay, select asterisks from donation where the drive number is in what was returned, and so 200 was all that was returned, so I get the records that have 200 in them. Okay, the other records I don't get. And then this is the one that I should have showed the whole database, but I didn't. And I said, go to the database. So select year goal from donor where the name is like Ash. And when I run that as a separate thing, I can see the returns 50. Okay, so I ran that as a separate thing.
Where's Ash? I'm sorry, why does it say from donor and then you go to the next line where your goal is greater than select your goal? Is that what that is?
Well, first of all, I'm analyzing the inner select. So that's the one in parentheses. So I'm saying select your goal from donor where name is like Ash. So I go to the table, which I haven't shown you here, I've just shown you the results, but I go to the table. And when I do that in a select, which I wrote as a separate one down here, just so you could see the result, it comes back with 50. Okay, so it finds the name like Ash, comes back with 50. And then, so 50 is what got returned from the inner select. It returned 50. So now I do the outer select, which says, give me the ID number, the name, the year, goal, and the contact from donor, where the year goal is greater than what was returned. And so that reads as where year goal is greater than 50. Okay. So the inner select returned 50, and so the outer select is returning anything that is greater than 50. And if you look at that, you can see that it didn't return anything greater than 50. 50 isn't in there. Yes, no, maybe?
Yeah, I just noticed why the selected vote from donor remained like ash is before.
Because you have to do the inner select first. This is called a subquery. And I'm doing the inner select first. So when the subquery, it does the inner select, resolves that, and then it basically says, okay, greater than 50.
Okay.
Because the inner select returned 50, so it says greater than 50. And greater than implied that I was expecting only one thing returned. In the previous one, I used an in, which would have allowed multiple things to be returned. Because I said select the stuff where whatever is in, and that would have allowed multiple things to return. But greater than is looking for one thing to be returned. Okay, so there's a bunch of things you can use for the comparison, and some of them, like equal, greater than, are looking for one thing. And things like any and all are looking for multiple things, or allowing multiple things. If it's just one, that's fine, but it allows multiple things. Yeah?
What if you had two names with ashes, and they both had two different year
goals? I better write it differently.
Which one would it grab, though, the higher one?
I'm not even sure whether, I think it would give you an error.
Now, when it gives you an error, do you just retype the last code? You don't go back to the beginning at that point.
Well, if it gave me an error, then I know that I've typed the code wrong, and so I would go in and change that, and that would probably be an in. I would probably change that to an in and then rerun it.
And then you could press the up arrow to bring up.
Yes. Yes. You can press the up arrow to bring up the last things that you've done, and it has a queue of. So if you did a 5-line thing, you keep pressing the up arrow till you get the things at the very top, and then keep moving down to get them. Putty also lets you do an edit. So you can also type edit and it brings up an editor where you can edit the thing if it's completely off. Okay? And then what do you hit? Control O and Control X, I think.
I feel like it takes me more time to do that than it does just to.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. But in Putty, you can. So if I write. Select asterisk from. Okay, so now I've got an error because I didn't put a table name in. I can type edit, and it brings up this screen when I type edit. Okay, so I can say from, and I don't think I have anything that's going to work because I'm not even in a database yet, but we'll say. From first DB was one of the ones we looked at. And so now I've made the change. Then I hit Control O, which writes it out, and Control X, which exits. Okay. So I'm saying Control O. Okay, Control O. We'll assume maybe it did that. No, it is frozen. Okay. Control O. Let's try that one more time. There, it really worked this time. And then Control X. Whatever. Say file under a different name. No. And I have no idea what I got myself into here.
So I don't use it.
I can't get it.
Save file under a different name. No. Okay. Cancel, Control C. Now maybe Control X. Cancel, Control C. Wish you didn't get yourself into this. This should, at this point, let me exit if I hit a Control X. Whatever. So it will destroy the changes, fine. I'm in a bind here. And it's not letting me out. No will destroy changes, so why can't I have a no? There, I finally got back.
That was a quick way to edit.
That right. That was a great way of editing. It actually usually works better than my little demo here. But Control O writes it out, Control X exits. And as you said, it's easier lots of times to just bring up the thing and go in and change it. And you move the cursor around. That green thing is where the cursor is, and you have to make sure that the green thing is where you want to make the change. Okay, so you do have an editor there that you can use, but as we've discovered, okay, so I want to use, and I don't remember the name of the database. So I will have to go and look and see what database I'm in. Okay, so that was the second one, I guess. And then I can come down and say, select average year goals from donor. Okay, so now I know I'm only going to get one thing, because average year goal is only one thing. So I can go in and then say, select name year goal from donor, where the year goal is greater than average. Okay, so I say, go get me the average. Now tell me everybody that gave above average, or has a year goal above average. So that's an easy way to say, go get the average, now show me everybody above average, or show me everybody below average. Okay, and that's what the subquery does for you. Okay, so on this one, I said, select the ID from the donation table where the contribution amount is greater than 20. So that's getting me a bunch of things. So the outer select, therefore, has to have something like an in it. Okay, to say, if I'm expecting multiple things to come back as a result of the inner select, then I have to deal with that in the outer select. So I'm saying, basically, select the name and year goal from donor where the ID is in that group that of IDs that you just got. So the inner one gets a group of IDs, and now I'm saying, show me the things that have that matching ID. And as I said, this is kind of a nice way to work with two tables, because I'm going and using the tables one at a time. The inner select is using the donation table and giving me some information back from that. And then I'm taking that information and using it with the donor table. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of lets me work with two tables in a very simplistic way. So when I do the inner select, I was getting back this list of IDs. And so now I go to the table and I say, I want to select the ID name, year goal from donor, with those IDs, and I'm getting apparently those. Because Stephen Daniels is 1111, Jennifer Ames is 12121, and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is Susan Ash. So I'm getting information from there. Okay, for those three people. Okay, so the inner select returns a field or fields that I can then use in the comparison in the outer select. And that's what you have with the subquery. Okay, so this one gets into a bunch of stuff that we've talked about. The inner select, again, asks me for an average. So the inner select is simply returning the average. And then the outer select says, okay, show me the state, the contact, and the sum of your goal from the donor table, grouped by both state and contact. So that means grouped by state and then grouped by contact within state. And I want the things that have a sum of year goal that's greater than the average year goal. Okay. So basically, this is the average. And if I put that in with the average, that's what I get. Okay. But I don't want to have to figure out the average. So by using a subquery, I let it figure out the average. And then say, okay, now show me everyone where the sum of year goal is greater than the average. Okay? And I get the same figures. So again, in this case, I wanted to do two separate things. I wanted to get the average, and then I wanted to do something involving that average. So it was easier to break it down into two things. Get me the average. Now, give me the stuff that's greater than the average. And in this one, I've got the grouping happening. And I'm grouping by state and then contact within state. And I only want to see the groups that have a sum year goal greater than the average. So it will make all of these groups, and I don't know how many groups it makes, but it will make all of those groups. And then once it's made the groups, it then eliminates the having. Says I only want the ones where the sum year goal is greater than the average. So anyone that has a sum year goal that's not greater than the average is going to be deleted. Okay, I only want the ones where the sum year goal is greater than the average. So again, the groups are formed. Again, where eliminates records from a group as the group is being formed. Once the groups have been formed, having keeps or eliminates groups. So once the groups are formed, the having either says, yes, I want these groups, or eliminate these groups. And in this case, I said, I want all the groups where the sum year goal is greater than the average. Questions? And then you can get really complex. As I said, the select statement leaves a lot of room here. So on this one I said, show me all this stuff from the donor, where the date first is in, and I've got the first inner select, and the state is equal to, and I've got the second inner select. So I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to resolve two inner selects. And then I'm going to take that information to the outer one. Okay. So I'm saying this inner select, select date first from donor where year goal is greater than 100. And I'm expecting that I may get multiples, so I use an in there. And also where the state is equal to, and I say select state from donor where city equals camp. Well, that's fine with the particular data that I had, but I would probably want an in on that one too, because Canton, Ohio is also, there's Canton, Ohio, and there's Canton, Massachusetts. So I was playing dangerously here when I said, and state equals, okay? But so I resolve the two inner selects, they give me information, and then I go back and say, select all this information from the donor, where the date first is in the group that came back from the first inner select, and the state is equal to the thing that came back from the second inner select. Does that make sense? Questions. So the first thing it does is the first inner select. The second thing it does is the second inner select. Then it goes to the outer select and resolves it using the results that came back from the inner selects.
These notes be available today, right?
There are, well, my notes that I'm taking, this is out there. So you can go and get this right now. But my notes will probably not go out tonight because I've got a better offer. So they'll probably go out tomorrow. So basically, on this one, I've got two inner selects, and this one is using an OR. So I said, the first one says, give me the contacts of the state equals Rhode Island. And the second one says, give me the contact from donor where your goal is greater than 1,000. So those both get resolved, and then I said, show me everything from donor where the contact is in this group, or the contact is in that group. So the last one I did an and, this one I'm doing an or. And I can keep going. I mean, you can get select statements that take a whole page by the time you finish adding in subqueries and clauses and all the rest of it. The select can be a very complex program. But notice the difference in select from programming. Select basically works with groups of records most of the times. Give me the records that meet this criteria, give me the records that meet that. Whereas with programming, you can get far more, give me this, and either of these, and you can get far more sophisticated. And a lot of, you know, programming you're gonna see when we go back to PHP, that we're going to be able to include a lot of this stuff in PHP and expand what we can do with SQL
by having PHP. And Oracle has a special language called PLSQL that you can use to expand.
So this one, I did the separate queries, came back with Susan Jones and Amy Coster and whatever, and then continued on. But those are the ones where I did the separate selects. You can also have any. So in this one, I did a select the minimum year goal divided by 3 from donor group by state. So that meant I was going to get multiple things back for how many states I have. So I said in this one, I wanted to get the con amount that's greater than any of the things that returned.
Okay, so greater than any one of them. If I want greater than all of them, I can put all in there. So greater than any gets me greater than any of them. Greater than all gets me greater than all of the ones that were returned. And the next one does the all. Okay, so that means it's greater than all the things in the group that was returned. I want your goal greater than all of them. With any one of them is fine. Greater than any of them. This one is greater than all of them. So those are the different kinds of ways that you can do a subquery. And if you're expecting a group back, you should be doing the in, the any, the all, which accepts groups. If you're expecting a single thing back, you can use equal, greater than, less than, all of that. But that's expecting just one thing back. If you want greater than all of the things, you use the combination of greater than all of them, or greater than any of them, if you want it greater than any one of them. Questions. I'm mainly interested in you being able to follow what's happening and understanding them. As I said, we spend a lot more time on this kind of stuff in the Oracle class. This is the quick version. So the next thing I want to look at is multiple tables. Okay, so these are three tables, and I've got a donor table, a donation table, and a drive table, and we looked at these last time briefly. Okay, so if I go back out and I go to notes and handouts, I believe, relational database. Okay, so I went to relational database. This is the rules for setting up a relational database. And if you follow these rules, you have gone into what is called third normal form. And third normal form is considered that you've probably done a good design move. There are more rules that you can follow, but they get fairly complex, and lots of times they're just not done. The first three are the ones that people stick to, that I want the things to be in third normal form. So when I've got multiple tables, I have to follow these rules. And we went over this in CIS 120, but I'm going to go over it again because I'm guessing that nobody remembers it. Okay, so what we have here is a relationship is the new first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, and I always use as the example on that, let's say that I have a student table and I have information about the student, and I decide that a student can take up to 30 courses. So I put 30 slots on the table, and each one of those slots can hold a course that a student is taking. And as soon as I get the database done, a student comes in and signs up for the 31st course. And I tell them, I'm sorry, you can't take a 31st course because I can only allow you to take 30. And obviously that doesn't work. Okay, and I tell a story about I called up to place an order and I wanted 7 things. And I got to the 5th thing and the woman said, thank you very much for your order. And I said, but I've got two more things. And she said she couldn't take them. And I said, I wanted them. And so finally she sighed deeply and said, okay. And she started a whole new order for me. So I had to give my name, my address, and all the rest of the things all over again because it was a brand new order. Okay, because there was one file and there were slots for five things that I could order. And I couldn't order a sixth thing because there weren't slots for that. So that's the danger of repeating groups. Okay? So on that donor table that I was talking about, I have a donor. And the donor has a donor ID number. Or whatever. And that is the primary key. And we talked Tuesday about primary keys. Primary keys are something that uniquely identifies a record. No two records can have the same primary key. It uniquely identifies the record. So I've got the donor ID number, the donor name, and then anything else that I want about the donor is going to be in there. So if I want their address, their phone number, their email, whatever I want about the donor is going to be on the donor table. Then I have a donation table, and I have a drive table. And the drive table has drives that I'm contributing to. So this would have a drive number, a drive name, maybe the goals for this drive, so I have a goal in there, whatever information I want. And the drive number is the primary key. And now I want people to give a lot of donations, so I have to carry the donations. If I carried it on the donor table, then I've got a limited number. How many slots am I going to set aside for a donation? And I don't want to do that. I can't carry it on the drive table because I have the same repeating group problem there. So I set up a donation table. And on the donation table, I have to know who gave the donation. So I'm going to have the DID number. I decided for this example that I also wanted to know the drive information. I could have done the example differently, but I did it that they had to know the drive, because that did what I wanted to do. So the donor ID number and the drive number. Okay. In this case, the donor ID is not the primary key, because if it was, then the donor could only give once. So if donor ID number was the primary key, the donor could only give one donation. And I want multiple donations out of them. If I combine donor ID and drive number, that still isn't unique, because I would like my donors to give multiple donations to a particular drive. So that doesn't make it unique. So if I add in date, which can include time, then I have a donation that can be given by a particular donor to a particular drive on a particular date and time. And date and time gets me down to seconds, so I'm not going to have two times that are the same. So these three things together can be the primary key, and then I have the amount of the donation down there, and the amount of the donation relates to the entire primary key. So a primary key can be made up of multiple fields. It doesn't have to be a single field. And in this case, it's three different fields. And as I said, I could have done it differently and not included drive number. But I want a drive number in this particular case. Okay. So this meets first normal form because it doesn't contain repeating groups. If I had tried to put the donations on the donor table or on the drive table, it would have had repeating groups. And so this means that I can have as many donations as I want. Okay? A relationship is in second normal form if it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? So, I can't have a non-key attribute that's dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So I can't have anything in here, in this table, that is dependent on the ID number alone, the drive number alone, or the date alone. And amount is dependent on all of them. Amount is dependent on the ID number of who gave it, what drive they gave it to, and when they gave it. So the amount is all of those, okay? I can't, for example, carry the drive name over here because the drive name is only dependent on the drive number. So I couldn't carry that. I couldn't carry the donor name over here because the donor name is only dependent on the donor ID number. Okay? And in fact, when you design a database, the big thing is the only things you repeat are the things that link the tables together. You never repeat something like the name of somebody, okay? Because if you're repeating the name and they change their name, you've got to find all of the many places that you put their name and change it, okay? So you only repeat the things that are being used to link. And the things that are being used to link these tables are these links. I don't have any link directly from the donor to the drive. I only have a link from the donor to the donation table, and then I can find out what drive that donor gave to. So I have links that let me move around here, but I don't have any link that goes directly from donor to drive. I have to go through donation and find out what drive they gave to.
So three different tables with the same information, that's how you link them up?
Well, three different tables that have the same information in the ID number field and the drive number field, but that's how I link them up. Yeah. So if I have donor 111, then all the donations for donor ID number 111 tie back to that person. Okay. I don't know if that answered your question. Keep asking if it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Okay, the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay, so a candidate key would be, for example, on the donor table if I carry the social security number. Okay? Let's say that I am getting donations for a particular group, and so maybe I put a group number over here. Whatever group they happen to be in, I decide I'm going to put a group number over here. Okay. What I can't do is then put the group name in here. Okay. I can't put that in because a relationship is in third normal form if it's in second normal form and the only determinant it contains are candidate keys. Group name is determined by group number. It is not determined by DID number. And so I can't carry group name there. If I want to know more about a group, I would have to come over here and set up a group table, have a group number, that could then be the primary key and could link back to that one, and I could put the group name here. a Canada key that I can have over there is Social Security number. So this is basically one example of one that I can do in a relational database. So that is just an example, and I want to move back and go through what we were looking at, but we're going to look a little bit more at relational databases when we finish looking at it. But I think that's enough to look at the multiple tables. So this is multiple tables. So I have those three databases. So there's my donor database, and it has DID number, name, and then it has a bunch of other information about the donor, okay? Information that I choose to carry as the donor. Now, I did not have on this, when I defined this, I did not define the primary key. But if I went in and put in a primary key, this would be the primary key. The DID number. Okay, that's the primary key there. And that is unique. And that uniquely identifies the person. So then I get to donor, and the donor ID, these three things together are the primary key. Those are the primary key, and then I have the contribution amount. And again, I didn't define the primary key when I was laying out these tables, but I could go back and do the alter and put in the primary key. And then I have the drive. And the drive has the drive number as the primary key. Okay. So on this one, the drive number is the primary key. And there is all of the other things that I set up. Now, okay, I did something that I comment on down here. When I set up the donation table and the donor table, and let's see if I can get them both up here. Yes, barely. I call DID number up here. And then when I came down to setting up the donation field, I called it ID number. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it confuses people. Because I'm talking about the same piece of data, the ID number. So usually I would make this DID number, if I made a DID number up there, or I'd make them both ID number, just for people's sake. It doesn't confuse the computer, it's fine with it. But for people's sake, I would make them the same. Okay, so that I know that DID number up there is referring to the same thing as ID number down here. And if I give them the same name, then it's clearer that they're referring to the same thing. Okay? So, I would have been better off if I'd made them the same. Okay. So now when I have two tables, okay,
On this one, I said, select the ID number, which came from the donor table, name, which came from the donor table. Okay, so this is from the donor table. Name is from the donor table. Contribution amount is from the donation table. So that means I'm using two tables. So I say here, select the ID number, name, contribution amount from, and I list the two tables, the donor table and the donation table, where the DID number on the donor 2000 table equals the ID number on the donation 2000 table. So I'm looking for the same connection.
Is that a donor 2011 period?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where you connect the incorrect, just like DHP.
Yeah. So I'm saying take the donor ID number. Now, if I had made them the same, okay, if I had called them both DID number, then it would have said, okay, wait a minute. This could have been on the donor table or the donation table if I had called them both. If I called both the ID number. So once I have, if I call them the same thing, then I would have had to have made this one of the tables, doesn't matter which one. But I would have had to have put the table name in front of it so that it knew which table it should get it from. In other words, if I list a field that appears on two tables, okay, then it says, which one do you want me to take? So I have to specify the field. In this case, it wouldn't matter which field, which table I specified, because down here in the where clause, I'm saying I want to do it where the ID number is equal to, and it would say the ID number over here if I made them the same. So I'm saying where they're equal. So since I say where they're equal, it doesn't matter which one I say, the list and the select. But I still have to specify it. Okay? So when you have a field that has been duplicated, you have to, or is in two tables, then you have to specify which table you're talking about. Okay? So this is how I can link two tables. I'm saying I want to see the DID number, the name, and the contribution amount from the donor and the donation table where the ID numbers are the same. So this is the contribution that Stephen Daniels made. Now, if he made more than one contribution, I would have seen a second record with 11111 Stephen Daniels and his second contribution amount over here. And if he made a third contribution, I'd see the third one. So it would list all of them. Okay, all of them that he made. And so I'd be seeing repetition of 1111 Stephen Daniels. Okay. Questions? Okay, and on the bottom one, I linked three tables. So in this bottom one, I'm saying I want to link all of the tables, and those are the links that I drew when I laid this out, that the donor and the donation are linked by ID number, and the donation and the drive are linked by drive number. And if you go back to look to when I laid it out, I drew the lines linking the IDs and linking the drive numbers. Okay? So this means I want to link donor and donation based on ID number. I want to link donation and drive based on drive number.
So I want to link them based on drive number. So I list the three tables, and then I tell how they link. There's another way of doing linking, which is using join. I happen to like this way better, so I do it, but there is a join that you can use when you link multiple tables together. Okay. Yeah.
In the select state, when you had donation dot drive number, did you have to do that?
Yes, because the drive number appears on two tables, right, and I named them the same.
Wouldn't they be the same?
Yeah, but, okay, maybe this is that SQL is stupid. Okay, it says that if it appears on multiple tables, you have to specify which table you want it to choose. I mean, and I don't necessarily have the WHERE down here if I'm doing something different, so it might be that I was taking two things, but I didn't have the WHERE that made me different for some reason. Example why I wouldn't have it, but.
So if there was no WHERE for some reason, you definitely have to put it in the select statement.
Yes. And if there was no WHERE on this, you'd get every possible combination. It would go on forever. So you get every possible combination if you don't put the WHERE. The WHERE
does the linking and establishes the links between the tables. But if you don't have that, it gives you a total mess. And as I said, if in the Oracle class we go a lot deeper into this, but this is just to show you that you can, if you need information from two tables or three tables, this is how you do it. You establish the data that you want. If the data appears on multiple tables, you put the table name dot field name. In the from, you list the tables that you plan to use. In the WHERE, you establish the links between those tables. So I'm linking based on ID number, and I'm linking based on drive number. So I establish the links between the tables. Okay. Now I could have something else in the table too, where I could add to the WHERE, WHERE contribution amount is greater than 20. So I can keep putting in the other kinds of WHERE's that I've been using. So I could add WHERE contribution amount is greater than 20, and then I would only see two of the records. Okay, so I can make that WHERE as complex as you want to make it, but part of the WHERE has to be the linking of the tables. Okay. Or as I said, there's a join that lets you do that as well. And then the last one is functions. Okay. And functions, basically, there are two groups of functions. There's functions that act on each record, and then there are group functions. Okay. So in this case, I wanted to select the name, but for some reason I wanted it in lowercase. So I said, give me the lower name, and so it's going to give me the name in lowercase. Now, it has not changed the data on the file at all, the change has just been made for this particular output, from this particular select. If the data has capital letters at the beginning of each name on the file, that's the way they've stayed. But I'm showing it this way. Okay, select the maximum name. So Susan Ash is apparently the highest letter in the alphabet, so she is the maximum name. So Max acts on a group, whereas Lower acted on each individual record. But Max acted on the group. Give me the max. Give me the count. Give me the sum. Those are all groups. Okay, so here is in-string, and we looked at that briefly before. But here's in-string, and it's saying, okay, select where the ever in whatever is. And the ever in whatever begins in character 5. So it's going in and finding the ever in whatever and coming back with a 5. And then doing it on a table, I said select in the string city EE from donor. So I want to know where EE is. And CCONC, it starts in 2. And then there's a whole load where it doesn't start anywhere. And then Braintree, it starts in 8. Back to CCONC having 2 and Braintree having 8. So I now know where those are. I can use a left. So I can say, select the leftmost 4 characters of city. So go into city, go into the left, and give me the leftmost 4 characters. And then down below, I'm giving me the rightmost 4 characters. Those are acting on individual records. And then I said, okay, now give me the length of city. And it tells me how long city is. And then I said, give me the first 4 characters of city. And if I don't have 4 characters, pad it with an asterisk, asterisk. Okay. In this one, I said, give me the left pad of city for 20. And if there aren't 20 characters, pad it with asterisk. Okay, so that's, and I don't quite know why I put asterisks. I couldn't just put asterisks, because I'm padding it. So I'm padding it at the front. And I did just put 1 asterisk. Okay, I can do a left trim, which takes out any leading spaces. I can find the mid of something, which says go into city, start with the 2nd character, and take 3. So I went into the mid of city. I think people tend to use substring more than mid. Okay, and we looked at substring on Tuesday, and that would be used more than mid. This tells me the position of EE again, and locate EE, so those are 2 things that work the same way. We've got 3 more minutes. So we've got locate and position are working the same way. So these are just a bunch of functions that you have. Repeat, okay, select the state and repeat it 5 times. if you happen to want to do that. Replace is go in and find the lowercase e's and replace them with uppercase e's. So you can go in and replace something. These are just, as I said, a variety of functions that are available, most of which you'll probably never use. You can even do a reverse of the city. So I went in and I did a reverse of the city. For whatever reason, I might want to do that. Okay. And you can take the rightmost characters. There's substring, which is what I would use. Substring 3 with no number after it starts with the third character and goes to the end. Substring city with a second digit starts at the third and goes to the and takes 4. Okay. And I think that finished it. Ta-da! I will put up a homework assignment probably tomorrow morning. And but I wanted to see where we ended before I put one up. Okay, so that will go up.